the thing that strikes me, and that's listening to what you just said, but also listening to what everyone else has presented in relation to what was presented 3 weeks ago, is I think my kind of general sense of having a kind of conventionalised view of drawing's media, and the idea that drawing can conveniently be thought of or broken down into maybe three areas that could be treated or thought about differently in the context of the digital screen kind of projects that came to the idea that there is some kind of a gesture using some kind of language, giving rise to some kind of remark on some kind of support. And then today, listening to what has been said about drawing and the kind of models that have been put forward and presented in order to describe drawing as a much broader, much broader definitions, really, that I'm immediately confronted with the kind of problems of how a project proposed in the original format is able to engage with those kinds of ideas. And it seems as though actually my feeling at the moment is the project is there is a line of inquiry that it can take that's kind of alongside or in a similar vein to the idea that you have these, as you said, about the kind of reality. Because there is just that looseness around drawing, where it's conveniently fitting in with the idea that you can just turn up and say, okay, let's, all that's needed is a bit of conjuring around, what could be done with technology in order to kind of just facilitate other kinds of drawing activity.
I think what you read from that conversation with Ed absolutely embodies some of the very interesting problematics that people are engaged with talking about drawing. Because the sorts of definitions of drawing that have been extraordinary and wonderful don't serve us anymore. I just got Benjamin's definition or comment that a drawing that completely covered its background would cease to be a drawing. Now we can all understand that both materially and philosophically in terms of the history of drawing and the page and exactly what MoMA gave up on. They ended up saying that drawing was anything on paper because they couldn't do anything else, so to speak. So the ground became the explicit zone of what drawing is. And I think your dialogue with it, the notion of it being a conceptual field, propositional, non-propositional, whatever, but this conceptual thing that isn't regulated by its material process is something that's really exploding as a series of possibilities of thinking about. There is a difficulty, which Ed goes back to, and I think which is implicit in your work and the sketchful work, that there are qualities of marking and marking somewhere that are absolutely fundamental to what we call drawing and the whole notion of marking, whatever the reasons for that marking is. And I think lots of people are sort of trying to find other models, not the material model, but we have to take something from those material models because there are, I think, essential features. And how do we talk about these features without reverting to material process that lands us in this very small domain? And you know, I think that's where we are. There's, I don't think there's, you know, we have Pandora's box is open, so to speak, and the references, as I said, you know, Benjamin talks about four different sorts of lime. You know, and you think, oh, it's lovely, it's very nice, but it doesn't do us very much good because his situation drawn in line. And okay, that was a sort of idea that went along somewhere or other, but it doesn't serve us very well now. So, I mean, I'm not quite sure what we do except carry on doing what we're doing.
It's, yeah, there is that. I mean, what you're just saying about the idea that anything that's on paper is accepted in the drawing.
That's the Museum of Modern Art's definition.
But how that just facilitating our reading of it in all sorts of ways. What really struck me today listening to what was being said had a lot to do with locating oneself in relation to how drawing allows us to kind of articulate or almost plumb those depths or locate those edges or those boundaries that I suppose the two-dimensional piece of paper has done very well for many, many years.
I think what you said about convenience is very important. Mm. I think the Museum of Modern Art's definition is to do with convenience.
Yes.
Whereas in research, there's no reason why you need to be convenient. Absolutely. You can make find some very, very interesting.
In fact, that's the very thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm. I still find it, I'm remembering when you came for the first time, just to see you, to kind of initiate this idea of a collaboration.
Yeah.
That we kind of really touched that area of do we need to define drawing? And then I think you reacted and you, Mark, reacted that let's not go there. Why would we want to go there? But in a way, because we came to that point that we do need to define what we mean by when we mention the word drawing, we find ourselves now in the discussion of precisely doing that. I think any other discipline is doing exactly the same thing.
Mm.
The sculptor is kind of questioning if an installation is a sculpture or a video sculpture.
Mm.
Is that a video or is it a sculpture? I think in many other disciplines the same kind of discussion is
happening.
Yes, but
that questions a sort of genre, you know, of installation or sculpture. I think the questioning of drawing is something much more fundamental. And I think the questioning actually is useful because it generates alternatives that aren't materially based.
But I'm even wanting to suggest
but it doesn't mean to be the seem to be I don't think it should be the only thing, so to speak.
Yeah. But I think it even suggests that with newer technologies, maybe with the computer to our hands, we are all kind of coming maybe a little bit closer between the different, whether it's an installation, there is a conceptual art piece, there is a drawing, line drawing maybe, and other art forms. So maybe we are at a point where we are in between these disciplines.
Yeah, I think that's why the conceptual modality appeals to me, because I think there is a flavour of the conceptual approach to drawing, which differs from sculpture, and particularly from painting. And I think that it's interesting you mentioned sculpture, because I think sculpture and drawing have renegotiated their domains in relatively similar ways, even though I agree that drawing is a discipline across more disciplines anyway than sculpture. Whereas painting seems not to have renegotiated so much in that way. And that in itself is very interesting why that's the case. And it does seem to me that if people are going to invest what they make in oil paint canvas or even, you know, carve it in marble, it means they've got something to say. And that in itself changes the mode in which you are thinking.
Marking,
which isn't to do with the material, but to do with, okay, I place this mark in my conceptual field.
But the mark actually can be a number of things. The mark actually can be linguistic.
It can be linguistic as well, and it can be very provisional.
Yes, yeah.
That's the point, the main point.
But there's sort of, I've got four little things that's down there that sort of come from each of your presentations. One is the query formed, one is a useful tool, one is, let's say, pre-logical, for the sake of argument, and the other is an archaeology of tactics. And I mean, it seems to me that there are very interesting things in all of those concepts that we can say are part of the activities of what we call this conceptual field that we're calling drawing. And I think it is a conceptual field now, rather than a material exposition. And it seems to me that there's something about the virtual space that might be an interesting location, that might be an interesting site.
I think there's an alternative.
I don't know how that, you know, it's another site. It's another site of exploration. It isn't the site, but I think it's another site that opens up.
Yeah, it being another site, I think it's very important.
Yeah.
Can I just say that I think there's PhD research in drawing and sort of conceptual. The conceptual art movement into what is drawing, which was a phenomenon of the 60s, people like Mel Buckner, where they asked these questions, and it was an art form, asking what drawing is, was an art form in its own right. Not always done by the brightest people, by the way, but that is something in art history again, and it exists. But if you're saying drawing is now a conceptual field and these questions matter, the problem I have is that I know that I have to, and like many people who do drawings, they basically have to draw every day. And if you're saying, okay, some very bright people have discovered that all those people doing drawings on paper or whatever were kind of slightly moronic, and there's a bright lot of people with PhDs who say it's actually a conceptual field of inquiry, are you seriously suggesting that in colleges you can go in with these diagrams instead of philosophy or whoever and say, look, we discovered, look, stop this, you don't need to draw the model, you don't need to draw any sketch, what you've got to think about is philosophy and ontology. Epistemology, ontology, oncology, whatever, you know, these logical things. I think that's completely fatuous. I think it's like going to musicians and saying, we discovered music is actually a conceptual field, stop practicing, sit down.
No, but you don't say it's an either or. I mean, I think that's the important thing.
I'm tempted to say, well, just to be controversial, but that, of course, that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about how you speak about drawing.
Yes,
I'm not talking
exactly.
About how you change the way people draw. I'm not interested in changing the way anybody draws. You know, and I don't think this would be correct if historical sets of drawing didn't fit within. I think it has to. It has to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but also, James, I mean, Paul presented something that was all grids and.
Well, there were about 100 drawings and sketches.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. No, but that piece. And I mean, this is my experience on being one of the selectors for the Gerbil this year. What was so interesting about that selection was that we had, there were about 4,000 drawings that we had to select from. We had an extraordinary amount of references to those graphic systems that were not conventional drawing systems. Charts, grids, maps. And artists are appropriating all these systems into what we call drawing. And I think that is part and parcel of it. So the conceptual field, what we call a drawing, is changing. Now, people have to practice in the sense that they have to practice at everything. But if you see somebody using a sort of architectural drawing mechanisms, within a fine art context. You don't say, oh, these are architectural plans. You say, these are drawings. So it's that sort of inclusiveness, I think, that's occurring at the moment that makes us feel sometimes we're in a shifting sand. We want to make a definition, or we want to do this, or we want to do that. You know, and that's the fascination. It's I think drawing, since it's stopped being taught in a particular way in art schools, has then been able to open up its own tactics. And it has also been something that's occurred within a sort of post-cubist modernist tradition. You know, as soon as you get collage, you get a different sort of notion about drawing. So, you know. I would go for the inclusive myself.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting that Ed goes back to that point about how he thinks I'm excluding, like, the Alma drawings, which is not what I think happens if you think about it conceptually. Yeah. I think they're very much part of that way of proceeding.
And Ed is sort of getting into the terrible sort of 18th century pit, isn't he, of, you know, the classic argument about drawing being conceptually superior to painting, which is all about colour and sensuality. This sort of false split.
Yeah, I think that's why modality is very helpful.
Yes.
It's really just a kind of detectable difference in the flavour of your approach.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm very troubled. Stephen's project last week of copying a Diabolo drawing, and I made a mistake. Well, a very interesting thing, the whole day of doing that kind of thing. And if you really look at, and the curator said, that Ash Milliam said, gosh, that's the first time in decades anyone's spent a whole day looking at one drawing of Diabolo, which is extraordinary, really. But when you look at these things, you can't help thinking that there's, I don't want to use the word skill or art or anything like that, but this was the fag end of a Baroque tradition, and people then could, from imagination, draw, say, 12 figures entwined from the toe upwards, from memory. And we celebrate people like Lucian Freud or Paulo Rico, people for being figurative painters, and all they do is sort of paint from reality by observation of or dummies. And we mistakenly sort of think of the conservative people who say they want to be back drawing, that's what they usually want. But if you go back and you really look at some old master drawings, there's the capabilities of virtuosity there, which I don't particularly admire, I hate it, but we've lost it. I mean, there are whole lots of expertise that have just gone in landscape drawing. And
We've lost that aspect of drawing. And when you said drawing a spend an all day drawing a Diabolo drawing, I thought that's a contradiction in terms. Because, you know, that's not a Diabolo drawing to have that sort of attentive, mimetic idea imbued into it. But I think that, you know, all that comes from the whole sort of skill notion and the value structure of history. I think you're absolutely right. I used to go to Sotheby's to all the drawing auctions because they had great big sort of ordinary sort of folios full of these fantastic drawings, dirt cheap. The skill in them was extraordinary. Artists that you'd never hear of. Nobody has that level of skill now, because that was a way of communicating the image quite cheaply. And the system of drawing that moved around so quickly and was learned so quickly and so thoroughly, we don't have. And it seems to be rather silly to pursue that.
Well, you said you don't admire it. I mean, that's a very interesting word. When you think back about the project that Mark's proposing, why might it be admirable to have this modality that we're talking about in that? You know, that would it be? And that's really the question to answer. I mean, I feel that it would, because when you gave your presentation, you talked about your idea of drawing within that environment, my thought was, well, it would be fantastic if you could get that that sense of the modality that I think happens at Wimbledon in there. So that, to me, seemed admirable. So, you know, why are certain things admirable at certain times rather than others? Mm. You know, not in a time where you're looking for technical skill.
Mm. Because that's going beyond a technical skill, isn't it? It's adding something to your mindset. Mm. I think when you're imagining the virtual space.
Yes. I think the virtual space becomes an actualization of this non-support.
Non-groundedness.
I mean, Adieu talked about, Malamé's talked about, it's a very modernist thing, but actually it's taken on a different emphasis, a bit like the invention of conceptual art in the 90s or the 60s. Mm. And I think there's something in the virtual space, as a fact, that could be very interesting for these modalities, definitely.
I think what bothers me slightly, I mean, coming from the outside, and I think last time in the room we were using, is that I've heard a lot of very interesting approaches to great subject areas.
Mm-hmm.
That was great, and I wanted to know more about this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I almost came pulled back to why, how can you call this drawing and all that? Not interested. Mm-hmm. Let drawing be drawing, you know, get on with your stuff, don't be bogged down by all this problem of drawing. Of course, if the proposal is how can we call all these things drawing, then yeah.
Yes, but then what you're saying is that the model of drawing that you have, you put over here, and you call, you don't allude to certain sorts of ideas and certain sorts of practice. And what you said about the flexibility of painting at the moment, it is a conceptual space, but there's lots of people making oil paintings, making very, very traditional paintings, let's say. So the materialization is part and parcel of the conceptual activity. And I think if you say, oh well, I'm going to get on with this and drawings over there, then you're excluding what I'm referring to as the marking aspect of drawing that is part of its materialization.
Well, I'm not absolutely sure that I'm in tune with what you're saying. I think to actually go into sort of philosophical ideas where you discuss this relationship between what was before and what is happening now is not really tackling the problem. I mean, what was interesting in that first video is that the mark making, which you were saying is so fundamental to all that, went by so quickly that I couldn't see it. I didn't want it. It was like that. You know? Was there skill in those marks? I didn't have time to see it. It wasn't about that. It was about something else.
I think you've got to be really careful that you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. That you say, what was interesting was the kinetic aspect of the moving image and how I took it in. What was also interesting was the manner in which it was made. And that included the projection, that's why I asked you about the size. I wanted to just have a sense of its total material presence. And I think if you say, oh, the marking doesn't matter, or, you know, whatever, I think you're making a big, big mistake.
Can I just interject? Because actually your reaction is very interesting for me, because one of the things the work is about is that mark making isn't valued.
It's not valued
at the moment in the current environment,
right.
And quite often one is about that.
Mm.
So the fact that you picked it up is quite good for me, because I get feedback.
I mean, the point would be much stronger if you had really marks that were greatly valued in the previous system, and which, in your display, were irrelevant.
Well, that could be another piece of work.
Could you take the same system, but...
But the issue of
marking is alive, I think, in the work. So you don't say, oh, it's you don't need it, or you don't need those reference. And I say marking rather than mark making, because mark making situates something, and marking is, you know, it's a semantic thing, but it allows the mind to wander a little bit more.
Just to go back to the point you made at the beginning as well about why not just leave drawing there and get on with the things you're interested in. I think the only reason why one doesn't is because it's very generative not to do that, to bring those things in, put them together and see you know, where there are problems and issues. And I find, for me personally, that very generative, both in terms of ideas and approaches and appreciations. So I find that good reason to keep them together.
And I think we're thinking at the moment the same drawing, with the sort of notion that it's image. I mean, drawing is also connected to language, and it's connected to a whole notion, a whole series of signings. And I think that has become much more alive as propositions or pre-logical structures of how drawing occurs, and that connects to whether, you know, you talk about empathy or exchange. I mean, the notion of exchange of drawing in that way puts it into a linguistic framework, not in a framework of the value structure of mark or that sort of thing.
You're almost not making a drawing, but you're explaining drawings.
Well, I think one wants to be careful about not getting into the arena of defining, but exploring the possibilities of how it can be articulated within the activity that we call art. And
it has to stay evolving, that's the thing.
Yes,
if you have a very fixed definition of drawing, you've almost contradicted yourself.
Exactly.
So, you've got to build in.
Can I ask you something? Mm-hmm. Is there a word for the artist's draw? The drawing artist, is there a word in English?
Draftsman.
It's gendered as well.
Yes.
I can say the drafter, which is dreadful, it's even worse.
I don't think anybody would be a
because we don't use it, we don't hear it.
It wouldn't be used in this context, it would be for technical drawings.
Yes, you see, that's
the drawer.
It's very interesting, isn't it? Because the draftsman is a technician.
It's a technical term.
It's a technician, yes. And the drawer is the creative artist. It's big split.
My take on drawing came from going and doing my training in drawing after my BA and sort of up to and beyond my MA in adult education classes, where you get people who were trained in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and actually what you get is a huge empathic melange that goes on with the life model, and that is to do with lots of things that are to do with language and interaction and sharing that are way, way beyond, above and beyond, and as well as that act of drawing and trying to capture the image in whatever way you see fit, according to the way you happen to be trained, which decade you were trained in.
Yeah, the boundaries are terribly nebulous these days.
Mm-hmm.
You're quite right. I'm testing the first year drawing students every year, that is the years when I'm on program. And come out of a two-week drawing life classes. And I'm amazed by the huge difficulties the majority have in copying a simple line drawing, a very simple line drawing.
What do you get them to do?
And I asked, to copy a very simple simple line drawing here to make it as exactly as possible. Okay. And then in the interviews and all that, they were told to express themselves during the 2 weeks that had just passed. They weren't told to draw precisely or to learn how to. That wasn't it. They were told to express themselves, which is fine. But here, you're now in this strange situation where you give somebody a pencil and say, express yourself in drawing, you know, but without the person having learned how to manipulate their pencil. You wouldn't do that in music. You wouldn't give somebody a trumpet and say, here, blow into that trumpet and express yourself in music. You'd say, go learn it and then express yourself.
Do you think that there should be a certain skill that it's imperative that there is a certain formula or skill that is learned?
No, I'm just responding to the fact that the argument that one uses that there's all kinds of drawings happening today in a life class apart from that. Yeah, I know, and it's a nebulous and dangerous situation. I don't impose any sort of views on what should or should not be. I mean, I think all art schools should be closed down.
No, anyway. But I think it's very interesting, the sort of involuntary value structures that we bring into what we think people should be able to do or not do.
But you ask them to improvise in order to express stuff. Well, in all the domains of art, whether it's in jazz or dance or anything, you learn the basics, you know, what we call the fundamentals, and then you discard them in order to express yourself.
Well, that's one way of doing it. You're talking about something where those skills, like learning how to play a musical instrument, most definitely is a technique and a skill that has to be engaged with. Whereas the notion of drawing, because it's so connected to language structures, because we do it immediately, it's a communication, isn't it? So, you know, the child draws a circle in his mummy's head or whatever. That there isn't that acquisition of skill at a certain point, it's continuously evolving with our structures of language. And I think drawing is very, very particular.
I wouldn't entirely agree with that, but call it something else. I mean, there's this intentional confusion with the word drawing that is...
But there's representational drawing, and then you can say skilled representational drawing in order to qualify.
Invent a new word.
Mm-hmm. Which word do you invent a new word for? Which part?
So you have to define what you call drawing, and then the rest which does not.
But maybe there's not one sort of
using any of traditional tools, for example.
Maybe
it's called drawing or.
Well, words do generalise like that, and we never know. Maybe terms will separate out and new ones get used. I mean, I always think it's very interesting that philosophers often use the word sketch. I will sketch this out, and it comes up again and again.
Mm-hmm. Because it evokes a certain manner of openness and extended possibility, doesn't it?
It's quite provisional.
But it's also, it connotes to a manual act.
Can I point something out that 20 years ago some colleagues teaching computer graphics had started, and I used to do this too, you had to teach the students how to hold a mouse or what the mouse was, and very often you had to say, do you mind if I put my hand on yours, because it's easier to show you that way than to feel like you're learning a violin. And the early manuals for this all had, you know, this is a mouse, this is the thing. If you go back 100 years, when pencils were you had the how to draw books then had several pages of how to hold a pencil. Mm-hmm. And then the first exercises were that what they meant by teaching drawing was either copying letters or drawing a straight line. And this is what you learnt. So, I mean, following what I'm not saying this is right or wrong, socially these things evolve. Where I would disagree with John is that I don't think you make any distinction in music or art between expression and technique. I think you can only express chaos by being very, very skilled. I think it's a complete fallacy to think that, I feel unhappy, I make a sad mark. You know, there's no correlation in my mind at all between the way you construct a picture and your mood. It's completely independent. In music it's the same thing. The structures are, you have very incredible geometric structures in music that sound extraordinarily expressive, but you can still analyse them that way.
But would you agree there's a different mood in terms of frame of mind about how you might go about different types of activities, which is not necessarily the same kind of thing you're talking about, where you're in a bad mood that's expressed in the drawing?
Yeah, I would. I'm probably simplifying because it's not, yeah, something that does correlate. Yeah, but I mean, I think you have to accept that there's, in drawing and all the arts, the structures you see are not literal, you know. I mean, what makes it so complicated, and that I completely agree with what John's saying about the sort of fallacy now of, actually not just in schools, they are taught, kids are told to learn drawing skills, and they say, what are those, you know, because they're not just drawing straight lines.
But there's this thing about expressiveness, and it would be exactly the same if you go and buy a piece of lined paper and said, okay, express yourself in writing. I mean, this express yourself is lunacy, predicated on something that suggests expression is completely unstructured and,
you just made the point, because I think it's going to, just express yourself, but I don't really think that's what we're doing.
No,
that's way. I think your point there. So, I don't see really the relation.
We got into that sideways, and that was the starting point, is that it's extremely interesting, the areas you're going into, and I sort of wonder whether you're bogged down in having to pull it back into justifying itself with drawing all the time, apart from being in a drawing centre.
Yes, I think my attitude is that it's not a question of justifying something as drawing, it is a question of being involved in a series of conceptual ideas and finding out how we can formulate models, or not models, that's the wrong word, but formulate ideas that connect.
Yeah.
It's not situating something, but it's these connections and what the material process is that somebody uses isn't the primary importance, it's the conceptual language behind it.
I agree with you, but I think the opposite thing is that, when I do a thing like that, you can call it drawing. Why call it drawing?
No, but I don't
think... Making a gesture.
Yes, do this, don't we? We generally, if it's on a canvas and it's a black line like that, then we'll call it a painting because it's on canvas. If it's on a piece of paper, we call it a drawing. Essentially, the line is exactly the same and the gesture is the same. The material site is different, that puts it into a different sort of genre, a different sort of conceptual space. And I mean, this goes on all the time. So, how we actually define things is very complex.
But it's not, doesn't bog you down there, does it?
You can still talk about the gesture of the mark and the context. Yeah. It's in that sense, it's about context. So if somebody is working with certain sorts of ideas within the digital world, I mean, we're not going to define it. The material process isn't going to be in the way, and the manner in which something is done isn't going to be in the way. It's going to be work.
Can I just say, I don't think, don't talk about this digital world, it doesn't exist.
I know, sorry, Jim.
But, I mean, it's the same world.
Yes, I know, you see, I'm generalising, no, like that, in the way that there's a generalisation. Sorry. How do we articulate these things so that we can talk to each other? This is what we're talking about. Mm.
Well, it's only when it interests each other, you know, presumably we can.
You find
that. You think, oh, actually, that could, you know, there could be an intervention that could really be stimulating, it could be regenerative of new things. And if that doesn't happen.
But don't you even think that this discussion, you know, we are having, applying something like this model of, well, let's not call it model, the program Marx suggesting with the non-groundedness, the non-material, would help us to define, would help us to maybe not define, since we're not using that word.
Well, the word useful is quite useful.
Yes.
If it's useful to talk about these things.
What I would like to suggest, I'm not sure if that's too early to do, but the people who have seen the program, how would you approach it? How would you communicate with Mark?
Well, I think John should go first.
Just as an idea. I don't know if it's.
I think I felt that you were very ambitious in your project, and I wasn't sure, like I said, I wasn't sure if you could actually achieve it. But nevertheless, in the research project, I think you'll do some very good work and find out some very useful things, which I called items of knowledge and email back to you. And I think that's worthwhile in itself, even if the actual project doesn't get completed or can't be completed. So I suppose my feeling is that in the dialogue, if we could build some way of filtering those out and recording them, either as drawings, as artworks, or as writing, that to me would seem to be the way, because that already started.
But it seems it's one of the things that came out of that very clearly was a need to evidence and record that.
Yes, I think the evidence in the sense of acts. Acts have to happen, whether they're linguistic acts or whatever acts they are, but the acts do have to happen. And I think one shouldn't be too concerned about outcomes. Because if you're dealing with research, I know outcomes are, you know, it's like the devil on your back. But I think that if one can make acts that then can be examined collectively, that might be sufficient at the moment, and you can then formulate the outcome from the act.
There isn't a program as such, really, other than the idea that, okay, whatever the line of inquiry happens to be, are the tools sufficient for the job? Looking at the blue screen, you know, in terms of, say, the Virgil, for instance, what facilitates some kind of engagement with it? And that's not, it can't be prescriptive, because it has to respond to what practice is speculating around or is interested in.
Because you've got two things, haven't you? You've got this area as a potential knowledge in itself, and then you've got the virtual space as a tool for something. So you've actually got two things. So artists can come along and say, what I want to do is to make an installation that's X, Y, and Z, and that. It becomes a tool for that expression, or it becomes an explanation in its own right. And I think, one must acknowledge that they are necessarily different, but they can coexist together.
It would just, to my mind, in my experience, it would seem that we're very well catered for in one area and can't be catered for in the other, really, unless that is, somehow is that coming from within. The area of the field itself, from within drawing, essentially. So, to my mind, it was really about what would facilitate people's practitioners' inquiries or you know, modes of engagement. And it just, you know, the virtual in a digital context that just kind of circumvents the prescriptive and allows for you know, our practitioners to do what they do, which has been very, very speculative. Because, I mean, yes, because it, everything becomes very, very problematic, I find, just even in the notion of drawing, communicating something, or marks articulated within a space that is uncertain in terms of its dimensionality and everything else, as to what is being communicated and how. The great, the thing about paper that, you know, referring back to that again, is it just does allow for a connoisseurship to grow up around it, of mark making, the masterpieces of you know, drawing in the traditional sense are, you know, are there to be seen. The idea that there's a digital equivalent somehow seems to be very problematic, and to my mind that would have maybe something to do with there just aren't the connoisseurs around to appreciate the masterpieces of digital drawing that do exist.
Yeah.
There's an argument, but
I mean, connoisseurship is always about perspective, isn't it? You know, you need a body of stuff to then predicate connoisseurship.
Yeah.
And there isn't that at the moment.
Very difficult in the virtual because of the idea of what the agreed limits are in which we're operating.
I think that's great, Toby, because there aren't any agreed limits.
Yeah.
So, I mean, connoisseurship has been a framework for drawing, but it hasn't necessarily been a very productive framework, because I think what it leads to is that idea of spending the day drawing it together.
But
is somehow not.
It's the fallback position, but it is the fallback position as to whether or not actually it's a good drawing that we're looking at in using those kinds of models, and they don't really seem to be adequate to describe the kinds of things that are taking place in drawing.
Yes, a few years ago I visited the Beijing Academy, and extraordinary place, very new building, vast, and they had these drawing studios. It was a domed sort of space, circular studio. All the classic European plaster casts, the Praxiteles, the Venus de Milo, the Night and Day, you know, I mean, they were all there. And there must have been 100 Chinese students. I mean, what, easels, A2 paper, all this. Drawing in black chalk and white chalk. And these are fantastic, absolute skills, extraordinary. And I said to the professor, I said, this is very impressive. How long have these people been studying? Yeah. And how long have your students been studying? And he said, oh, they've been here 3 weeks. And I almost fell over. This thing about skill, and when you can prescribe something, boy oh boy, and communicate it. You know, and it was all there, and every single, you know, it's the principle of Chinese art that you follow the master, and the closer you are to the master, the more refined your work is. You know, completely different premise to the premise of expression, of individual subject expression. And, you know, these drawings were phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. I've never seen anything as skillful in an English art school.
Just to say about formalism, formalising and expressing, but one thing about Charles Salters-Peirce, who you know about, is that actually to develop aesthetic relies on oscillating between expressing and formalising. So just as an aside, I'm going to keep mentioning expression, or you know, the idea that that somehow connects to skill in some way. But actually there may be other kind of powers which come into play in terms of what we're valuing.
And that's where I would go back to this notion of drawing as a timing process rather than a skill like learning an instrument, which isn't a timing process. I think that's what makes drawing this activity of exploration very interesting at the moment, because sort of exploring primary processes of thinking. And that doesn't affect its particular the whole sort of hand-eye notion and what occurs in that hand-eye relation to the world is ignorance. There's lots of work to be done around that.
In terms of that. I just would like to expand what I said perhaps clarify a bit what I find interesting in the project, because you talk about facilitating and from my point of view and my research, I'm investigating this idea of what they consider to be an action, and she says that it's definitely not what she calls the sort of fictitious change outside the world responding to your desire. So if I come to you and ask you, well, I want something that does that, and you do it, and I use this thing and I have no idea how it works, I'm not performing an action. So that's the ethical concern in that sense, and that's how I relate to attention. I find it interesting because, you know, I wouldn't necessarily come to you and say, make me do this, make this, facilitate this, but rather, quite the contrary, say, well, you might even create obstacles, but just shifting a little bit and asking, well, does this program allow for me to perform a true action? Regardless of what comes out, you know.
And there's a dialogue there.
Yeah.
And there's an exchange because there's the kind of assumption in that instance is somehow that the programmer is, or the producer of the environment is just going to fulfill your requirements rather than problematize your request in all sorts of interesting ways to provide a dialogue rather than just being, you know, someone who delivers things that aren't quite how you imagine them to be.
That's precisely what I see the interesting bit, that you know, you could have a dialogue on this thing, that what, you know, how are you going to facilitate me to make a valuable action in that sense. So and just to say what for me is interesting, the concept that I see potential there for, you know, for a dialogue.
I think for you it's problematic. How do you write up something for your HARC application that is sensible to the HARC company and allows for these sorts of ideas to exist?
I think the problem, one of the problems I see at the moment is that I think we started quite specific, and this is now all broadening it out into such a vast field that it's not this kind of tight proposal I think the HRC wants us to write.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, this is why I'm mentioning this, because
it would work if you would write names in, but in that case you can't do it because you're doing PhDs. If you, let's say, would be artists outside in the art world, we could write you in as names and say, like, we've identified these three forms.
And you can't do that.
Very different artists approaching the drawing field, and we want them to experience this notion of the virtual ground. But we can't do that.
No,
we could merely say we have a range of artists who would be using, with a contemporary approach to drawing, this kind of application. But that's why it really depends on how to read this.
Because obviously you want a field of inquiry, and PhD students are, you know, they have the time, and, you know, they can come and go and all that. So it's a very rich.
they're disagreeing with their eyes.
But I idealise this one year. Everyone's under pressure.
Yeah. I just felt what John was saying. He works with first year students and reapproaches them in their second year. That might be maybe a method of dealing with more traditional definition of how how do we change our perception of drawing, because you're going through this process of, you know, this learning curve, also conceptually and maybe also a little bit of skills, I don't know. So the article.
Is there anything in the HARC rules where you can have PhD students as
case studies?
Yeah.
I think there is. I think if we leave it rather like in collaboration with the drawing centre, where we have identified a number of
concerns, a number of conceptual
or approaches to conceptual approaches to
to
space or to
think space. And I think, I mean, it was the first meeting that we had, the whole issue of the ground and how one conceptualizes the ground within the virtual space. And not creating a metaphor for paper or something like that, in the way that, you know, the white surface is a paper surface within the computer.
And then I wanted to maybe discuss a little bit, since you bring it back to the application, which is good.
Yeah, well, yes, I know.
I think what we should really look in, try to include in the proposal. Let's say if you would be drawing on your time, then we would pay you for case studies, whatever, £150-200 a day, you with us on this. So we would maybe allow 3 or 4 days per artist to engage with the software. And make cases that might be coming back to Europe.
That, you know, that's a very, very good way of introducing something and then not actually specifying it, but allowing it to develop.
Mm.
That sounds really interesting.
Neither of us will be stuck with the juggle. You know, if you say, like, we have a set of days, these days are, you know, to your convenience.
Mm. Yeah.
But I think we should go back to what you said, that we, as a group, are in fact analysing what we've been doing, because I've been thinking about it. How do we deal with the outcome?
That's easy. Because what we can do, we can say that we could use the project space for a series of seminars, a series of presentations. We can get lots of people together, different levels of students, MA students, PhDs.
How about the international? There's some links to some outside.
Well, there's the drawing network. That's easy. We can put it on the web, and we can involve the drawing network.
And should we aim for something like a final conference or an exhibition?
There's the gallery at Wimbledon, and there's always the possibility of doing an exhibition. So the project space can be this space of exploration, presentation, working through things, of discussions and seminars, in the way that the project space functions. And then there's no reason why it can't develop into an exhibition. And there's absolutely no reason why we can't try and make connections with other colleges that have certain sorts of concerns that run parallel to these, and engage, a broader discussion.
Golly,
it's pertinent, isn't it?
Put some key people in who negotiate with us, then the practitioners.
Yeah.
You know, that we have some theoretical opinions from the outside world.
Yes.
So that we're not merely.
Yeah.
It might not just like reside in the gallery at Wimbledon, perhaps. And Campbell has something similar, Davis Street.
Yeah. How about the gallery at Davis Street, the gallery at Chelsea, you know, the gallery at Wimbledon? There's absolutely no reason why we can't put in those, creating a symposium on this.
Mm.
And it might be an in-house symposium for the university, it might be connecting with other centres. I mean, Loughborough, I know, is...
Maybe so would you want us to write you in to a certain percentage or rather
than... I think the best thing to do is to write the Centre for Drawing in.
Yeah.
And
but then you're not allocating specific postdoc.
Exactly.
The
then you've got a movable space.
Correct.
And what you can do is to write in the coordinator of the Centre for Drawing at Wimbledon, which is myself. But it means that it's a slightly movable feast.
Yeah.
You know,
and for how long would you suggest to? Would that be a day, a week, or?
Oh, I think it would be rather
less?
Like this on a project. I think if you're saying, if you're inviting the PhDs to. It couldn't be a day a week. Because
it has to be less, doesn't it?
It has to be less because there's no such thing as a day a week.
Yeah.
I mean,
so why
I'm just trying to hold on a moment. Let me consult my diary.
Yeah.
A week.
I think we could maybe see it almost like
I think it should be. Yes, absolutely.
Know,
and then the
you draw on your expertise
can be projects, seminars, presentations in the project space.
Yeah.
Artists might want to actually use a base at the same time as working with you, so that base can be the project space. And we also have a studio, the studio upstairs, so
there.
You could say the
place
the
where we have the talking.
Yes, that belongs to the Centre for Drawing, so you know, we could use that as well. So there's that's easy. I mean, that really is easy to do.
I think it'd be useful to keep the feedback going as well. You might, after you present it, if you could do something.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Because then we've got the documentation of, you know, which interests were most
documentation. I mean,
we're logging all of the email exchanges and things that you can rack up.
I mean, there's always anything that occurs in the project space is very well documented, still photography, or we can video to consumer. I mean, all that is already set up within the structure, so we just call on those. And Grzeszek, it's a shame Grzeszek isn't here, but certainly the technical help and skill for research students we have in the Centre for Drawing. So, I think my feeling is if you could write up something and then I can look at it, or Anita could look at it. And I mean, she's great at research.
You know, we are now quite under pressure to write.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, that's why.
So what we were doing,
I did say, I know I couldn't come another day.
And it had to be today.
Yeah.
Because if next week it would be almost too late for us.
Yes.
So we have to do it.
What we
suggest to do is we work on the writing.
Yeah,
by meet next week.
He's not done.
I'm still here. I've got to go to Amsterdam.
When are you? Can we say Tuesday?
Not sure.
Yeah, that's okay. What I think you should do is to make sure Oriana and then Anita and myself. And also Susie Morrow. You know, Susie came to the meeting, but she had to go. Now Susie she's brains. You know that puppet with the big glasses? That's called brains. That's Susie. She's got it all in her head. She's absolutely brilliant. She knows. And she said, "Oh, change this word. I'm going to do that."
That's what we need.
Yeah.
Mm.
She's very special.
Mm. That's really great.
Yeah.
I mean, what we needed today as well for our research coordinator in Kavanaugh, he said to us, we need time, location, figures. So, but we kind of discussed that we don't do that. We are accommodated by the center.
Yes. Yeah. I think what you can say is that there can be seminars, there can be presentations. I think you can list in things. You don't have to say there will be, you know, 2 days of this, 1 day of that.
Yeah.
But by listing the different activities, it sort of becomes self-explanatory because it's going to take a certain amount of time. If you want to, I can certainly put 3 hours, 2 days, I can make up something. I mean, it all gets changed,
yes,
doesn't it?
But we would need to know that to let the person who is doing the full economic costings.
Would
they have to approach personnel?
I think this is where I don't know enough, and Susie does. So if you send the structure, and then Susie can look at it and say, okay, what does this entail? What does this entail? Because that sort of, I can say, okay, a presentation here, okay, somebody is going to need setting up time, they're going to need presentation time, they're going to need dismantling time. Let's call this a week, let's call it 10 days. We have to do this, this, and this during this time. So I can do that, but I can't give you any guidance on what's appropriate. I just don't know.
Yeah. It's more that, let's say if you're writing in someone with his post, then we know this person is working 2 days on a project.
Yeah.
So specific, really,
I think also what you need to do is to write Grzegorz into it, because he can also be a link.
Yeah. So could we write even 1 day a week? Or is
that
full time with
you? See, that I don't know.
Is he full time?
No, he is. No, I think he's 3 days a week, isn't he?
Yeah.
Because he has some contact with the BAs. That I'm absolutely unsure.
But since we're not writing in name, we could ask Krzysztof.
I think
if
what
we
you need to do,
we ask him if he can do it, and if he can't, we have to
accommodate
another
technician. Yes. I think what you need to do is to get what you want then, and then Susie will be able to make an interpretation.
Very good.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's really good.
Yeah. Because as I said, I just, I don't know what should be put down on these things. It should certainly be done.
I must say the discussion was really useful, because I'm not in this debate. So, when I use the word drawing, I was quite innocently using it, really.
Mm-hmm.
Though being aware that there is a shift of, I work a little bit with Marie Claire, so I know that people are using performative aspects in drawing. I'm aware of it, but I wasn't aware of it that it's, this might move a whole discussion from drawing into something so big.
I must show you a catalogue of a show that was in Holland last year. It was called Drawing Typologies. Not very good title, and the catalogue is a bit dodgy, but the work was really interesting. And it was the pretext of it was an open submission for Dutch artists, or artists living in Holland, to submit drawing works for possible purchase for the state, because they do have a lot of drawings. And it was in a building that is called Stedelijk CS, which is near Central Station. And it's a great big 1960s building, and vast room, so there was so much space. And there were projections, there was vast installations of all the different things, all drawing. One Peruvian artist had a film that was, he had scratched on the film, and then it was projected. And it was quite magical. And it was in a sort of tent that was like a classical, he made this canvas tent that looked like a classical building with columns. And it was a replica of his uncle's cinema. Peru, and scratching on this film, and they were beautiful, beautiful drawings. And it was a sort of narrative. It took him ages and ages, but there's so much interesting work going on. So
But you're aware that with a proposal to the HRC, we at some point have to be quite specific.
Yes. Well, this is why I wanted to sort of, I thought, oh, we're being very general, talking about all these things. You've got to pin it down.
Yeah. So be general with us when we send the proposal. It might be much more,
yes,
you know,
don't worry,
reducing
don't worry
it back to an area where we might have quite an old-fashioned.
Yeah,
no,
yeah. I think you've got to make your judgment.
Mm.
But I think, I hope what's been helpful is everyone opening up the possibility.
Yeah.
You know,
it makes a huge difference, just in terms of how one phrases things that are very, very suggestive.
Yes,
I
think it's that.
Being careful,
because the terms that one's using, the substitution of one term for another, can make a huge difference,
yeah.
And that's always been the really important part.
Yeah. And not to literalise things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then we know whoever's going to read this, there is a chance, you know, that the wrong person is going to read it or the right person is going to read it, and that's
you have to.
Well, that's the lottery.
You have to write it. Yeah.
Also quite simplistic in a way,
yeah,
quite transparent. You know, there's no dodgy area where
that's it. And they think, you know, these people don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
All over the
quite,
place.
Yeah, it has to be quite pinned down.
Yeah,
this.
Yeah. I think this, if you grounded yourself in the notion of the ground and the change in understanding of the ground in drawing, that relates to the ground. The virtual ground, so to speak. I think
so. It's always been a useful hook.
Yeah, you can get into lots of things from that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Shall I have a copy?
Oh, I'd love
yes.
it.
Yeah.
It could
thanks
be.
Thanks
very
much.
Yes, thank you all very much.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I found it very interesting hearing everyone's.
I think that could
and
be my
thank you all for doing so much work on your presentation. No, I know that we've all been very, very considerate.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice
to
know that
that
was evident.
Yes, because we have actually, we met her to record it. We're all getting computer time.